In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The passages surrounding this afternoon's Old Testament reading are filled with fascinating detail of the building of the first temple in Jerusalem. It really was quite an extraordinary undertaking. For example, Solomon paid the king of Tyre for his men to cut down cedars of Lebanon and Cyprus and to transport the wood by floating it down the sea along the coast. He conscripted 30,000 men into forced labour from Israel to assist in this. He also conscripted 70,000 labourers to work on the temple, 80,000 stone cutters in the hill country, quarrying out great costly stones to lay for the foundation, and 3,300 supervisors. This 10th century BC construction work was really on quite an eye-watering scale. So as we heard, the temple was built of stone, roofed with timber, floors of cypress. The walls were then lined with cedar, so that no stone could have been seen from inside, and carved with decorative girds and open flowers and cherubim and palm trees. And all of this was then overlaid with pure gold. So was the inner sanctuary, so was the altar. Those splendid cherubim that we heard described in the first reading were made from olive wood, and they were then overlaid with gold. So were the doors at the entrance to the inner sanctuary. Such immense expense and effort, only the very best materials and skilled workers, only the very best for the house built for the name of the Lord, of course. And we who have this immense privilege of worshipping in a place such as this, which was also built at very great expense for the worship of God as a priory church in 1106, we can identify with Solomon's desire to make absolutely every element of worship as perfect as humanly possible. It's part of our offering and response to the abundant love of God. There is, of course, an element of statement. This building might say something, for example, about the awesome might and majesty of God whom we worship. These great sturdy pillars, the soaring heights of the roof, the sheer dimensions of the place. Even in our own time, people gasp as they come in through those doors many times a day. Just imagine what this must have been like to those who lived around in this area in the centuries before Wren's St. Paul's Cathedral was built and the Shard next door. These great Norman monastic churches must have been utterly awe-inspiring. The building might also say something about worshipping God in the context of light, colour, and the beauty that we sense through our eyes, ears, and noses. And also, the cynic might add, there's an element of the projected power of Norman conquerors who embarked upon a great program of construction as castles, cathedrals, and monasteries sprung up across the land, manifesting their wealth and their power. And in the case of the church building, all mingled and muddled together with a sincere desire for piety and devotion. So we, as inheritors and custodians of this great building, we do well to take heed of the little section of text that was nestled in these chapters of 1 Kings amid all the description of wealth and splendour and skilled work. We heard it in the reading today. The word of the Lord came to Solomon, concerning this house that you're building, if you will walk in my statutes, obey my ordinances, and keep all my commandments by walking in them, then I will establish my promise with you, which I made to your father David. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. Follow me, says God. I know that you're building this great house for my sake, but don't forget to follow me. Follow my commandments, stand out from the others, be different, be holy as I am holy. We too need to remember that we're not simply worshipping God in a context of great beauty. We are called to worship God in the beauty of holiness. We are called to be holy. We are called to worship God in the beauty of holiness. Let us pray.